My name is Victor Kubik. Welcome to another edition of the Inside United podcast. And today our guest is a person I've known on several different levels for 5 decades. We have been very well acquainted with his family and certainly have had a friendship, Andy Lee. He and his wife, Karen, live in Cleveland, Ohio, where he works for a major accounting firm. He's also an elder in the United Church of God. But this week, he is down here in Cincinnati to teach a few classes at Ambassador College. Welcome, Andy.
Thanks, Vic. Good to be here with you.
Andy is here to teach this module at Ambassador Bible College that he's done for the past 3 years. It's an ABC career education model, which I think it's best for him to describe.
Well, thanks, Vic. Yeah, this is a program we've been doing for 3 years, as you mentioned, and teaming together with Lisa Fenchel, who's here at the home office. And going back 3 or 4 years ago, Lisa and I, my wife Karen, got real involved with together with Matt Fenchel and a group of others who were working on ways to continue to help our young adults within the church move forward in their lives. And we thought it was important, as we're doing that, to talk about their whole life, not just the spiritual part of their life, but how they're living day-to-day in the world as well, because a major part of what we do in day-to-day life has to do with our working world. And certainly at ABC, we thought it would be useful to spend some time on career and education planning. Students come to ABC at all kinds of different places in their lives. Some of them have finished graduate work. Others have just finished undergraduate work and take some time out before starting to work. And then we get others who haven't quite figured out what it is that they want to do. And so we thought it would be real useful to spend some time as part of the ABC curriculum talking about how do we go about in a godly way figuring out what we want to do with our lives from an educational and career perspective.
What are some of the things that, tell us a little bit about the program, because I'm sure that our listeners would like to know, what are they talking about?
Yeah, sure. We usually do 3 different modules. This year is a little bit shortened because of COVID, where we'll do 2. But one of the things in common is that we always start each module with some level of biblical instruction that has to do with what we're talking about that day, the skills or other items that we're talking about. We also then have some specific lecture and instruction on the topic that we're covering, and we usually wrap up with some panel sessions where we bring in other people of different ages, some younger people, some middle-aged, who are in the working world in order to give panel discussions. So in terms of the first part, the biblical perspective, we talk about a few different areas. The one I start with is one that I call the 20-mile march. And I model this on a story that Jim Collins uses about one of the polar expeditions and how the polar explorer, in this case a guy named Roald Amundsen, who was the first one to the South Pole, one of the ways that he was able to make it was by dedicating himself to a steady 15 to 20 mile march every day. And we talk about the fact that no matter how good life is, how bad life is, we have to develop that discipline within ourselves to get up and to continue to make forward progress every day. And we compare that to some of the passages that we see in the Bible as well, where despite things being uncertain, sometimes we don't even know what God wants for us. We have to get out there and we have to keep taking steps forward. So we use biblical examples like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who knew that they were going to go out that day and they were going to obey God, whether or not they knew what the conclusion was going to be of that. And as we see in Daniel, they even tell Nebuchadnezzar, we don't know if God will save us or not, but regardless of what he's going to do, we know what we're going to do.
So they knew God, and also they knew themselves, and they knew what they wanted to do.
That's exactly right. And so we talk about that. Obviously, Paul talks about the fact that he went out there like an athlete, training himself and moving forward with dedication every day. So we talk about that. A second lecture that I like to use is the parable of the talents, and talking a lot about the fact that talents are not just God-given attributes like playing the piano or being able to sing beautifully. But when we really look at the parable of talents, a talent can signify any resource that God's given to us. And when we look at our Christian lives as a whole, we really think about being a whole person, which is rather than segmenting our Christian life here, our work life there, our family life somewhere separate, our relationship with our neighbors perhaps somewhere separate, we really need to think about the fact that we have one whole life And all of the resources that we have in that life need to first be dedicated to what we're doing and becoming spiritually. But then in concentric circles from there, it moves outward into our workplace, how we deal with building a career and earning a living, how we raise our families, how we interface with our community and our church congregation. And it all needs to come from that common center and that common core. But I'm a huge believer that whatever resources that we have, God expects us to multiply them, and not only in one dimension.
Do you talk to people about the fact that some people have more talents, like even biblically, some have five and some have two and some have one? We're not all the same, and yet we could all be success within whatever God gives us.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We absolutely spend time on that. In fact, the session we did today with the students at ABC, we did a personality assessment with them, and with exactly that point, that part of this is that we need to understand ourselves. What is it that we're good at? What do we enjoy doing? How are others wired? Because how we get along with and work effectively with other people also has to do with understanding and being able to relate well with them. So certainly that element of whatever it is that we're given, God showed in that parable that if we take what we have and we multiply it, it doesn't matter so much what we've been given. What matters is what we do with it and how we multiply it from what we had to start with.
Well, I think that's one of the big things we learn in life, is that we all have talents and people envy us, you know, and we in turn envy others. And it's learning the fact that God has given us one thing, one kind of personality, whether we're extrovert or introvert and everything, but each has their value. And if we were all the same, that would be terrible. I don't like to be around people like myself.
That's absolutely right. Variety is the spice of life. So the last element that we talk about usually in our third lecture is being a light. And we talk a lot about the practicalities of being a Christian in today's working world, and how it is that we conduct ourselves. There are moral dilemmas that come along. There are issues of working and being able to work effectively with people in the workplace, despite the fact that they might have different beliefs and different lifestyles, where we don't necessarily agree with all the decisions that they make. But even so, as Christians, it is our responsibility to be a light, to shine forth that love that God showed and that Jesus Christ showed when he was on the earth to all people, without sacrificing or diluting what it is that we believe in, but at the same time showing that same care and concern for other people and a dedication to doing a good job in the workplace.
Well, I'm glad that you started with the biblical instruction first, having that base. Ambassador Bible College is basically going through all the books of the Bible and going through the entirety of the scriptures, but there are other classes as well, like this one here, that have a biblical foundation, you know, for the instruction that takes place. So you start with that foundation, with the parable of the talents, being a light, but then you go on to what else? The personalities you mentioned?
Yeah, so we do go through personality assessments and just the idea of needing to understand yourself. If you're going to direct your life and find a career and education direction that's going to be best for you, you have to understand yourself, what you're good at, what you don't excel at, and play to the strengths in that sense. So we spend a fair amount of time in our first set of lectures around that, understanding yourself, seeking wise counsel, finding people that can help and direct you towards a good way to go in life and help you to find that right path. Secondly, then we go through elements of resumes and interviewing.
Well, before that, you know, I'm so intrigued here by the 16 personalities. Can you give us a little bit of flavor of some of them?
Sure. The 16 personalities is actually based off of the Myers-Briggs personality types. And so it's a matter of figuring out, you know, how is it? Are you an introvert or an extrovert? When you're making decisions, you tend to be more intuitive in that way, or judgmental in terms of needing facts to make a decision. Thinking versus perceiving, those types of things. So it then uses the different Myers-Briggs personality types and relates them to 16 different profiles that exist out there, and how those people not only approach things themselves, but the studies that are done also talk about different personality types and how they interrelate with each other. And so what's always exciting and interesting when we do this with the students at ABC is watching the looks on people's faces, hearing the chuckles as they go through and they look at what their personality types have come out as and what some of the strengths and weaknesses are. And especially as a lot of these kids are rooming with each other, it spawns some really good roommate discussions about things that different personality types tend to get in little conflicts with each other about. And it makes for a great, an entertaining time that way as people learn to understand themselves better, and also serve some really good, useful lessons in looking at what to do in life.
Yeah, and then they can have a foundation which to say, I'm going to do those things that relate well to this kind of work. So actually, in the time that you're here, you're able to take the test and they kind of basically have their personality figured out?
Yeah, well, have it figured out. These things are all indicative. So, and that's the other thing that we warn people of, is these things are data points. And they're useful when they're taken more broadly in a broader context. So, yeah, these assessments like this one takes 15 to 30 minutes, and you do get the results immediately. In no way do we want people to think that that 100% defines them, but it's a great data point that when you take it with other things that you observe about yourself, it's a great way to understand more about yourself.
Then the resume. And tell us about that and some interviewing tips. I think that this could be helpful to people listening.
Sure. So we spend a fair amount of time in one of the modules talking about resumes, going through interviewing skills as well. And, you know, particularly our young people, one of the things that they deal with often is, how do I handle the Sabbath and the holy days in an interview situation? And those of us who are working in this module, we've all had personal experience both in the interview setting and then talking with young people who have had sometimes good, sometimes bad experiences interviewing for jobs. And, you know, certainly one of the big recommendations that we make is the Sabbath and the holy days is not generally the first thing that you're going to mention when you go into an interview. In fact, most jobs these days, you're going through two or three rounds of interviews. And the early rounds of interviews are really just to find out, is this a person who's got a personality I can work with? And do they have the requirements that are there, the skill set that's needed for the job? And certainly our advice is that early on, unless you're applying for a job where you know that 90% of the time they're going to require working on the Sabbath, for example, it's best just to not bring it up. Make sure that you can show what you can do in the workplace and why you'd be a desirable employee, and wait until the final round of interviews or even until a job offer is ready to be made before talking about any of these other issues. And that gives context as well, where they appreciate the skill set and how you would fit within their workplace before you start to put things forward that really don't need to be figured out unless they're actually going to hire you.
What, on these four sessions that you had two here today, which ones have you covered and what do you have to go yet?
So what we've covered this time is personalities. We've covered the 20-mile march. Tomorrow we're going to dive deeper on doing some of the understanding of what the different personality types mean and how you use these things in daily interaction. And then we'll do a panel discussion. Michelle Waterhouse and Mike Cook will join us, and we'll talk about career journeys. And we love doing these panel sessions because I think it's good to get just that real interaction of people sharing stories and experiences with the ABC students. And we try to field their questions, talk about the fact that a career for most people is not this straight line journey from point A to point B. And it's okay for things to be messy. It's okay that things don't always go quite in the direction you expect them to. That's where we go back to the 20-mile march. The important thing is to keep getting up every day and making progress, putting your plans out before God, and continuing to move forward and trying to put them into action.
And not running into the first obstacle and throwing your hands up in the air, going backwards.
That's exactly right. And one of the analogies I love to use in this session too is a GPS or Google Maps. And when we're going to go somewhere, we might punch the address into Google Maps, but we also understand that we have to start the car, and we have to hit the gas pedal, and we have to start moving down the road, or we're never going to get to the destination, even if we have the roadmap. Until we get in there and take the action of driving the car, we're not going anywhere. And our life is the same way. We've got the instruction book through the Bible. We have our relationship with God. We have the Holy Spirit leading us. But until we're moving forward, it's difficult because the Holy Spirit doesn't get us up out of bed and throw us out on the doorway in the morning.
We actually talked about that earlier here this evening about, we rely on God and He's going to help us. He's going to walk us through things. But then not enough is being done. I suppose you have to talk a lot about, you know, relying on God, having faith, knowing that the end result will be fine, but that you have to really do a lot yourself.
Yeah, I think that's a key to all of it. And like I said, I love the analogy of driving the car because it all makes sense. And we've got to take the vehicle of our lives. We have to get it on the road and we got to hit the gas pedal. We also have to realize we'll make wrong turns sometimes. And just like a GPS will correct us, we might end up taking an extra lap around the block before we get to our destination. Sometimes our lives are that way. It takes an extra year or two to get to the destination because we made a wrong turn. But if you keep on moving forward, you can still get there.
Have you had anybody from your class from 3 years ago that's connected with you?
Yeah, I see people a lot at the feast, and so it's always gratifying to see them at the feast as they're giving updates on how they're moving through school, how they're starting to fare in their jobs. Often at Winter Family Weekend as well, we'll get a chance to touch base with some of the students that have been there. And it is, that's the most gratifying thing as young people reach out. I get connected to a lot of them on LinkedIn now. I've had the opportunity to connect a number of them for interviews on jobs, which they've ended up receiving as well. And so it's exciting to see them get out there, get out into the workplace, be successful, and also be thriving Christians at the core of their lives.
Are you encouraging them to get on LinkedIn and starting to get noticed or connect?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, getting out there and getting information posted on education and career background and goals is a really important thing. And I'm big on the fact we've got a huge community within the church. We've got people of many different ages, many of whom have accomplished a lot in their careers. And if we can help in some way through those connections, get our younger people connected and get them job opportunities, I think it's just a fantastic thing that we can do for our next generation.
What are some of the professions of the other people who are participating in this, Andy?
Yeah, we've had a mix. And one of the things we feel strongly about, too, is that college is not for everybody, and the road to success does not necessarily require a college degree. So one of the things we emphasize a lot is get a certification or a degree. And so we have people coming out, some who work as software developers, for example, who are essentially self-taught and have learned on the job, which is much more the case in software development than in some other careers. We have people who are general contractors, and they've come out and shared in the panel discussions how it is that they've gotten their careers moving and their businesses set up as general contractors. We have others who are in sales, in actuarial sciences, in human resources. So we've had really a good variety of people from different types of careers. And to me, what's important is just sharing the stories of how they got to where they were, some of the decisions that they made, both good and bad, and what they learned from them, so that we can help people forward.
Well, one thing that we're noticing here too, and things, of course, careers change from year to year as far as what's in demand. And we're finding right now that if you're a software engineer of one kind or another, you can be in very, very great demand. And if you have aptitudes for those areas, you could have a job pretty much to whatever you want to do.
Yeah, it's huge. And especially in these COVID times, the tech industry is just going crazy. And you can work in your pajamas, which is a big draw for a lot of people. So lots of good opportunities out there in the software world.
I'm finding, too, that there are people that thinking that they may not have the ability to design. They may not have the ability to think of being able to use something like InDesign or whatever. And then they start using it, and they get to liking it, you know. And then they find that they have a skill that they didn't even recognize. And I suppose this is true in other fields, too, is that until you try something, you don't know.
Yeah, that's very true. And it goes back to one of the things that we recommend heavily to young people, which is find opportunities wherever you can to job shadow with people. Again, I think the church is a really valuable set of resources, as well as school, neighborhood, and so forth. There are very few people who are working out there in the working world who would not be excited to help an enthusiastic young person to learn more about what they do. And most people, whatever job they're working, if a young person were to come up to them and say, hey, can you tell me what it is you do? Why do you like what you do? How did you get where you got career-wise? Pretty much everyone's going to be willing to share that information and help somebody forward. So to me, one of the most powerful things is if you can get out there, spend 2 hours, a half day, a day with somebody to see what they do, you learn so much more what it's like to be a nurse, a software developer, a teacher, and what they deal with day to day.
Then we talked about your career as a journey. Of course, I mentioned some of that, and also how to thrive in the workplace. Any more comments about that?
Sure. We tackle some interesting topics in that one. Everything from, you know, how you deal with the holidays and the holy days, how you deal with coworkers who have alternative lifestyles, how you deal with diversity practices in the workplace today, frankly, many of which we benefit from as people who have religious views that aren't in line with everything that's mainstream. And so we talk a lot about how it is that we can walk that line of making sure that we're setting a proper Christian example in the way that we conduct ourselves with other people, not just being judgmental and condemnatory of everybody, while at the same time continuing to do what's right and stand up for what's right. And I think that's something that all of us as Christians struggle with, finding the right balance day to day. But we talk a lot about experiences in doing that and ways that we think you could be most successful doing it.
Yes, we're in my little world here, we're teaching 1 Peter right now and talking about working with bosses, you know, as far as the respect that we have for bosses, the respect we have for our fellow workers, honor all men, you know, just a lot of very basic good instructions on just relationships and how to work with people, including the government.
Yep, and that's very true. Probably never more important than today. But, you know, I still believe, even in the world and the workplaces that we're dealing with today, God's Holy Spirit living within us is a powerful thing. And the qualities and the ways of doing things as Christians that we stand for and that the Holy Spirit develops within us, I believe, suit us to be very valuable employees and very successful in pretty much any workplace out there.
Andy, it's been just great talking to you here today, and I really wish you well in the continuation of this program and so forth.
Well, thanks a lot. We've enjoyed doing it and enjoyed being with you today.
And thank you for joining us here, all of you listening on Inside United. Be sure to tell your friends about our podcast. You can find us easily on the homepage of ucg.org. Go to the main menu bar and click or tap on the podcast button. Or else you can find us on your favorite podcasting app on iOS or Android. I'm an Android person. I use Pocket Casts, and I can easily find Inside United every week it comes up. And also, we're on Spotify now. You can go to Spotify and find the Inside United podcast. Also, we would like to hear from you. If you would like to write to Andy and write to us about this podcast and any of the other podcasts, write to us at podcast@ucg.org. podcast@ucg.org. So thank you for joining us. Come again soon for another edition of Inside United.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.